If we are missing some of our friends this morning, you should have seen it at 9 o'clock. It may be because we turned the clocks forward much earlier than we usually do in spring. Always a minister's nightmare, I will tell you. And then these words from Walden by Henry David Thoreau. He writes, "It matters not what the clocks say. Morning is when I am awake, and there is a dawn in me." If there was one thing Thoreau loved, it was the morning. For him, it wasn't a certain time, it wasn't an hour, it was a metaphor. It stood for the promise and the potential of every day and the promise and potential of every person living that day. All sorts of people are awake for physical labor, he said, but only 1 in 100 million are awake for the poetic or divine life that we could all be living if we wanted to, but instead we sleep right through it. To be awake is to be alive, and from its first to its last line, Walden is Thoreau's cry to us to spiritually awaken, and so, in so doing, reach at last what he called life in all its everlasting vigor and fertility. I like getting up early in the morning. I like to sit in a chair by the window with a cup of coffee and watch the day come in. There's magic in this liminal time, this time between night and day. Magic for me as the dusky gray streaks to pink or gold or turns to mist. I like to watch the birds come and peck into what the poet calls a marriage of seeds. Their small gray bodies are sturdy against the morning cold. I like to wake early, but I can't say I do it that often. These moments of quiet get squeezed out by all else the day demands. Children, house, work, emails, life. This morning time becomes a casualty, I suppose, to my own need to get things done, check them off the list, move on faster, bigger, better, more. There is some simplicity at the beginning of the day, which, when I allow it, can feed me spiritually, I know. But I often let other things get in the way, and my life is the poorer for it. We are determined to be starved before we are hungry, writes Thoreau. Why do we live in such a hurry and waste of time? He goes on to say, it is astonishing as well as sad how many trivial affairs even the wisest person thinks he must attend to in one day. Simplify the problem of life. Distinguish the necessary and the real. I love that. Distinguish the necessary and the real. If only it were that simple. But that's what he's saying to us. Sort out how you are living and why. Use your head. Look at the facts. It is simply too important, this business of being alive, not to. I know many men who, in common things, are not to be deceived, he wrote. Who trust no moonshine, who count their money correctly, who know how to invest it, who are prudent and knowing, yet who will stand at a desk the greater part of their lives and glimmer and rust and finally go out there. If they know anything, what under the sun do they do that for? Do they know what life is? Thoreau's voice is often with me in these days of March because that's when he first went out to Walden and began to cut down the tall, arrowy white pines he would use to build his cabin, and because this was the month he loved to watch the ice as it melted in the ponds. Walden is melting apace, he wrote, and for him this spring thaw of Walden Pond was a metaphor. It was a powerful symbol of nature's drive to renewal, but also of the drive inside each one of us to renewal. He describes the ice that cracks and booms like artillery fire as it melts. He scans the surface for signs of honeycombing. Each year, he recorded the exact date that Walden was finally completely open. 1845, April 1. 1846, March 25. 1847, April 8. And in 1853, not until April 23, was Walden finally free of ice. For him, this date marked more than anything else the real beginning of spring. And like the morning, spring meant everything to him. It meant possibility, new life. It even hinted at the possibility of a resurrection. Walden is dead and now is alive, he wrote. When he watched the ice in March for that telltale honeycombing, I think it was more than ice Thoreau was watching. I think it was a spiritual season inside of himself he was observing as well. Where were the deep, dark, and frozen places inside that needed to move themselves out? Where were the flaws, the habits, the attitudes that perhaps could melt, disappear, drop off? These are the spiritual burdens we carry. When we watch and wait, it isn't for water opening on a pond. It is for some kind of loosening, thawing, some kind of spiritual opening inside of us. And like Thoreau, Jane Kenyon is a modern poet for whom winter is as much a season of the soul as anything else. As late as yesterday, ice preoccupied the pond, and then it sank, one piece, taking winter with it. Kenyon lived in the hills of New Hampshire, and she loved them fiercely, and she also was someone who wrestled with depression all of her days. We hear in this poem the relief of someone who has been caught in the grip of something so hard for so long and is finally free at last. That image of the ice that sinks all in one night, taking winter with it. Suddenly, everything seems simple and good. For Kenyon as well as Thoreau, spring thaw is really a spiritual metaphor as much as a physical reality, speaking to us of possibility and of promise. It has been said that optimism is sown through the pages of Walden, and I'd have to agree. But there is nothing shallow or surface about it. It is only when we understand the extent of what Thoreau struggled against in his life that we begin to know that optimism and to understand it and to see how it gives such amazing power and force to what he wrote. William Trask is someone who has given me a window on this aspect of Walden. He tells us that when he was a young man fighting in Vietnam, he was depressed at one point, close to despair, really. He caught sight of Thoreau's book, The Maine Woods, on a newsstand in Saigon. He knew nothing of Thoreau. He knew the name, but that was all. But William Trask was from Maine, and he loved Maine, and so he picked the book up and went on to read everything Thoreau had ever written. Simply put, he said, "It saved my life over there." The very last thing you need, Trask writes, when you are in a life or death situation, when you are absolutely without hope, when you are perhaps ready to commit suicide, the last thing you need is for someone to try to tell you that life is merely great, that the horrors you have seen with your own eyes either do not exist or are not important. Thoreau never told me that, says Trask. He wasn't someone who spoke about his suffering, but when you think about it, he lived with tuberculosis his whole life. His sister died of that. His brother died 20 years before Thoreau did. Neither Thoreau nor his siblings ever married, and his mother outlived all of her children. His brother John, whom he loved so much, died a slow and terrible death of lockjaw, literally dying in Henry's own arms. It was the facing down of these losses, the wrestling with this grief, that although we never hear him speak about it directly, must lie below the surface of what he wrote. It became the fuel for Thoreau's powerful affirmation of life itself in the pages of Walden. In and behind the pages of Walden, writes William Trask, I see a terrified man who has somehow found the strength to face the horror and to live with it. Or as Alex said today about the Laramie Project, the town that was able to see the horror of life and somehow restitch their lives together. So it is March, and Thoreau is whispering in my ear, come out of your lives of quiet desperation, he pleads. Wake up to the divinity that is drenching and pouring into you every moment of every day. Wake up to the limitless potential in you, in the morning, in the spring. Wake up to your ability as a person to shape and hew each day you live here on this planet. There will be no path laid out for us here, no blanket prescription. Spiritual vitality, spiritual awakening is something that each one of us finds for ourselves or not at all. But he urges us on. I didn't want to come to die and discover I had not lived. I like to get up early, but I don't do it all that much. Perhaps this month I'll try again. However we are, March finds us this year. It can be hard to leave our warm burrows, to leave the ruts and routines of our lives. It can be hard to wake and stretch and move. We are ready or not. But spring is on its way. Our souls have wintered enough, they have mourned enough, they have been oppressed enough. We are ready for days to lengthen, for early light to come and beckon us towards new possibility. We are ready to hear again those very last lines of Walden and to hear them as if for the very first time. Only that day dawns to which we are awake. There is more day to dawn. The sun is but a morning star.